May it please the court, my name is John Sparrow, registration number 17977. I represent the appellant, the petitioner, claimant. Claim is the way I like to refer to the injured worker, Elaine Loofborough. Good morning, Judge Miller, Judge Taubman, and Judge Terry. The claimant in this action only requests that this court reverse and remand Section 6 of the ICAO's order denying lost wage benefits after August 24th of 2009 because they inappropriately applied the law. I think what happened at the ICAO is they got confused and thought that the claimant was challenging the original determination of MMI in this case. The real important dates to remember are just three. Date of injury, November 8th, 2008. I'm sorry, 2009. MMI, December 9th, 2009. And then the worsened condition, as found by Judge Felter, which occurred on August 24th, 2009, which he found to be a natural progression of the original injury. So you're not required to have a dime, an independent medical evaluation when there's been a worsened condition. The other problem is a due process problem, which is the claimant procedurally was never given notice that she would have to pursue an independent medical evaluation because the respondents never filed a final admission of liability, which makes sense in the whole context of the case because it was always a contested case. In many workers' compensation claims, the insurance carrier doesn't formally accept the claim, they provide treatment, and only later, once an issue arises, does it become contested. That's what happened here. In fact, if you go to the initial colloquy between myself and Judge Felter, he says, "So Barbara, what are we doing? Petitioner to reopen?" And I said, "I'm withdrawing it. Would you let me explain?" He goes, "No, it's a fully contested matter." So even Judge Felter at the underlying hearing understood that issue.
Mr. Sbarbaro, if I may ask you a question, I'm not sure I understand the basis for your claim for TTD benefits given the provisions of 842.105.3 that says that you can't get TTD benefits after MMI has been established.
Well, you can.
What the statute says.
But the statute also says, and I can pull the, I have to get the number for you, but the statute also says in the case law, if you have a worsening condition after MMI and can establish a larger disability, then you are entitled to lost wage benefits. And that's what happened on August 24th. Remember, on November 8th, we had restrictions. December 9th, maximum medical improvement, no restrictions. August 24th, restrictions.
So is it part of 842.105 that you're referring to, or is it a different statute?
For worsening? For worsening, it's a different statute.
Okay, what statute is that?
I didn't pull that, sorry.
And how does that relate to 842.105? That's what I'm not clear about.
No, it's the time frame that the statutes apply at. In the workers' compensation system, once a claim, you have restrictions, and if that restriction results in a disability that results in a wage loss, you get lost wages. Then maximum medical improvement occurs, and that's the statute you're focused on, Judge Taubman.
Right.
Which says once it occurs, the insurance carrier gets 30 days to accept or reject, and if they accept it, then the injured worker has 30 days. But if nothing occurs in that time period, then the case, for all intents and purposes, is put on the shelf. It's closed. But a claimant retains the right within 6 years to reopen. Again, this is not an admitted case where the confusion arises, but to reopen at any time, and that doesn't require an independent medical evaluation.
I understand that, but my understanding also, Mr. Sbarbaro, is that you said that the statute for reopening here did not apply because the case was never closed and therefore it couldn't be reopened. Am I correct in understanding?
I said that I misspoke. No, the statute wouldn't apply.
No, you didn't say that. That was my understanding from...
Thanks. And I screw up a lot, so it's funny. No, it was never an accepted case. That's the whole problem here. Had it been an accepted case, then I can respond to your arguments, but this was never an accepted case. I had to go in front of the judge almost a year later and argue this woman suffered an injury, her medical condition plateaued, and then it got worse. But the whole time I'm arguing, we had an injury, so this was never an accepted case. And that's, I think that's why I still got confused.
So is that why, pardon me?
No, go ahead.
Is that what, is essentially that there was nothing to reopen because there hadn't been a closing yet of the case?
It's legal fiction. There was no case. I can't open something that didn't exist. I didn't know it existed until ALJ Felter entered his order saying he had a compensable claim. I mean, I believe it did. I wouldn't have argued it.
So is it unusual to have a worsening while the original claim is still going on?
The original claim was no longer going on, ma'am. The original claim closed on December 9th of 2009. It was not reported because there was no lost time associated with the claim. So it was handled internally. But from a legal standpoint, it didn't exist. So then, before I get to court, we have a worsening. So, again, none of this is in the parameters of the, you know, it has an established case. So I have to go establish the claim. They establish MMI. Then I have to establish a worsening. Now, I think Ms. Keck would be correct. Had they accepted the rating back in December of 2009 and filed a final admission at that time, if I wanted to challenge MMI, I would have had to do an independent medical evaluation. But what I think the court's confused on that, maybe ICAO, I never challenged MMI. I'm not saying that my client was not an accident medical improvement on December 9th. I never made that argument. Because if I did, I would be entitled to lost wages all the way back to December 9th. What I said is, she plateaued, condition worsened, new restrictions from a doctor on August 24th, and those restrictions have resulted in a wage loss, and that worsening is a natural progression.
So what, can you tell us then what case says that you can have, when there's a worsening condition, that you can have TTD benefits for lost wages after there has been an initial finding of MMI?
I believe it's on page 20 and 21 of my opening brief, Your Honor. That's what I would direct you to.
Okay.
And then in my response brief, go very quickly if you don't mind. I'll tell you what. Let me look at my brief while Ms. Keck makes her argument, if that's acceptable to you, Judge Taubman. And when I come back up, I will give you those cases.
That's fine, sure.
Would that be fine?
Certainly.
Are there any other questions? With regard to Ms. Keck's argument, because she's across the country, I'm just going to argue that there is substantial evidence in the record to support the ICAO's affirmation on the other five sections of Judge Felter's decision, and thus respectfully request this court to affirm its findings on those issues. Thank you.
We have about 7 minutes and 20 seconds.
Yeah, I will need more in a couple. I just got to get the judges some cases.
Good morning. May it please the court, my name is Margaret Keck, and I represent the respondents, the cross appellants in this matter, and my attorney registration number is 9794. This case is on appeal on several issues. I would like to respond first to Mr. Sparbo's argument about the temporary total disability benefits. I think Mr. Sparbo is asking to have it both ways. On the one hand, he's saying the case was never accepted, it was never opened, therefore it couldn't be closed. On the other hand, he says that the original claim was closed in December of 2009. I don't think any of those are exactly accurate. What happened was, actually the injury, by the way, occurred in November of 08, and MMI was in December of 2008, not 2009, a minor detail. I don't think it's significant for the issues today. But what happened in November of 2008 was that Ms. Luperl reported to her employer she'd been injured. The employer referred her to a physician. The physician was appropriately authorized. She went to him. The physician placed her at maximum medical improvement after some physical therapy. And the respondents paid for all of that. And then after that, the case was quiescent. It wasn't closed. There was nothing anywhere that said the case is closed. It was simply quiescent.
Ms. Keck, if I may interrupt you, if the case was quiescent, I don't think that word is used in the statute. What should a claimant do in a situation like this, where the claimant alleges that there was a worsening condition after MMI has been established?
What the claimant should do is what she eventually did do, is file a worker's claim.
File a what?
A worker's claim for compensation.
You mean a new claim?
No, Your Honor. The claim was already established. The claimant could do one of two things. She could file a worker's claim for compensation, which would require the respondent to take a position in writing, to actually file a general admission of liability. No general admission of liability had been filed because this was a non-loss time case. The employer is not required to state a position in writing unless it's a lost time case or unless permanent impairment is alleged.
So what statute requires or provides for filing a worker's claim after the establishment of MMI?
There is none.
So then what is the basis then for your assertion that that's the procedure that the claimant should have followed?
Because that's what brings it before the court. When the claimant did file a claim, she applied for a hearing. At that point in time, she had two things she needed to argue. One was that I suffered a compensable injury. And in fact, Judge Felter found she had suffered a compensable injury in November 2008 for a variety of reasons, but one of which is that he said the adjuster admitted such in their own adjuster notes. So he found that's a compensable claim because the adjuster is actually admitting it in the log notes. And then after that, if the claimant wanted benefits after she proved that she'd had compensable injury in November of 2008, she should have also made petition to reopen an issue.
And but Mr. Sabarbaro says that you can't file a petition to reopen if the claim had never been closed, as I understand it.
That's true. You can't file a petition to reopen, and that's why fact that she was placed at maximum medical improvement is so important. Without filing a petition, without the case being closed, the only way that you can get temporary total disability benefits after maximum medical improvement is to challenge the determination of MMI through a deficient IME.
So, but, as I understand it from the briefs, Mr. Sabarbaro could not have done that.
No, he could have done that. There's nothing that would was either he can file a claim for compensability and then argue that the case is compensable. And once that decision becomes final, then he asks for a division IME to challenge the issue of maximum medical improvement. The division examiner then decides whether or not Ms. Loughborough had in fact reached maximum medical improvement back in 2008. If the division examiner says she had not, then temporary disability benefits would be owed.
But could he have filed a claim for compensability without your clients having filed a final admission of liability?
For compensability? Absolutely. Yeah. That's what he did do. He filed a claim. He filed a worker's claim for compensation sometime in the latter part of 2009. I don't remember the exact date. He also filed an application for hearing, and he listed as issues compensability and petition to reopen. He actually did list petition to reopen, which made sense. If he wanted to argue that the case was originally open in 08, then closed in 08, and then he wanted to reopen.
But then he withdrew the petition to reopen.
And the reason he did is because the claim was never actually closed. It opened in 08. Benefits.
Sometimes when you say the reason he did, are you speculating? I mean, is there something in the record that he expresses a reason?
No, he didn't. No, he didn't express a reason. He simply said to Judge Felter, "I am withdrawing the petition to reopen." He didn't explain why, but my assumption is because he knew the case was still open. That's why he was proceeding only on the issue of compensability. But there's nothing to prevent him from also maintaining that, Judge, if you find that this case is open and compensable in 2008, I want you to also find that it closed in with the finding of maximum medical improvement in December of 2008, and then I want to file a petition to reopen or have you hear the issue of reopening in 2009 and tell us whether or not her condition is actually worsened, which would entitle her to TTD benefits if the case were being reopened. But that's not what happened. We had an open case. It never closed. And what we went to hearing on was whether the condition in 2009 was related to the condition in 2008. So there's just this continuing line of developing events. It's the same as most other cases that are closed. The claimant's condition waxes and wanes over time. Sometimes they get worse, sometimes they get better. But once in an open case, a doctor decides that the claim is maximum medical improvement. They are not entitled to further temporary disability benefits unless and until a division examiner says the claimant is not at maximum medical improvement, or a judge says so. But the judge can only say so after the division examiner has rendered an opinion.
Well, could the employer have demanded that the claimant go to a dime before the hearing? knowing that she was alleging a worsening of condition?
No, Your Honor. A dime is only appropriate when...
Or sometimes, maybe not a dime, but in any case, an independent medical evaluation of the by someone of the employer's choosing.
Yes, the employer could have done that, but an independent medical evaluation is just for evidentiary purposes that really has no bearing on the legal status of the case. Whereas a dime does have some impact on the legal status of the case. A dime's opinion is the law of the case unless and until a judge finds that the division examiner's opinion is wrong by clear and convincing evidence.
What I'm gathering, and this is not an area that I have a lot of depth of expertise in, but what I'm gathering is that this procedural posture of this case was very unusual. And is that correct?
Well,
because it almost sounds like it falls in between the cracks of what the statute is set up for.
Well, I don't think it's unusual because there are a lot of cases that are considered what we call medical only, where a position is not taken in writing by the employer or the insurer up front because there's been no lost time and no assertion of permanent impairment. So there are a lot of cases out there that are in the same posture as this, what we call non-lost time. What the law is silent on is how does a case close? We do know it closes if a final admission of liability has been filed. But other than that, the law is just silent. What happens on a medical-only case? Is the case closed or not? And our position was is if the case had been closed, according to Mr. Sparbo, then he should have filed a petition to reopen along with his application for hearing on compensability. He would have heard two issues. Was it compensable in 08? And in 09, after the case had been closed, should it have been reopened? Or if the case remained open, then we have to look at whether or not the issue of MMI has been successfully challenged. And the judge could not determine that the claimant is entitled to temporary disability benefits after maximum medical improvement has been reached until a division of IME it occurs first. So either way, the procedure is actually clear. It's not that hard to figure out. If it's an open case, overcome MMI if you want benefits after that point in time. If it's a closed case, file a petition to reopen. And Mr. Sparbo initially said he was filing a petition to reopen, and then he withdrew it. He specifically withdrew that at the hearing.
And in either of those two instances, was the claimant required to request a dime in both instances?
No, the claimant wasn't. If the claimant had wanted, if the claimant took the position the case is open and that she wanted more temporary disability benefits after MMI, then she would need to request a dime. And the way she could do that is first then the hearings would have to, the issues had to be bifurcated. First the judge would have to find that the case is compensable. At that point in time, the respondent...
And what statute are you referring to tell me that she would have had to request a dime while the case was still open?
Well, there's nothing talks about while the case is still. The statutes all assume the case is open. The way the statutory scheme works, with the exception of petition reopen, talks about when the case is closed. Then you do certain things.
That's where I'm confused because, as I understand it, the briefing is all discussing whether a dime is required when the case has been closed.
Oh well, no, Your Honor. Our position strongly is that the case was open the entire time. Because there's nothing to close the case, and no petition, and even if it hadn't been open, then the claimant was required to file a petition to reopen. But in order to get the case to close so that she could ask for a dime, then she would actually have to have the issue of compensability determined. A final admission of liability will be filed. At that point in time, the claimant can request a dime to challenge maximum medical improvement. She challenges maximum medical improvement, depending upon what the division examiner says. Temporary disability could be paid if the division examiner says she's not at MMI any longer, or if a judge says the division examiner is wrong and the judge finds that she's not at maximum medical improvement anymore.
Counsel, you say the case remained open, so the case would remain open. Let's assume that I have no idea what the age of the claimant was, but let's say she's 30 and she remains employed for 35 years. So the case would remain open for that entire time period and everybody would hang on to the records? And
essentially so. In most of these cases, there's no official time as to when they close. It's just silent in the law. Okay. I hope I answered clearly enough to explain this to you.
Please, in terms of, I understand the statute that comes into play requiring a dime, and my dim recollection is that that comes up after the case has already, there's already been an FAL.
Correct.
All right. Your position is that would have required to, been required to do a dime even in the absence of an FAL. And can you please give me a citation to something that supports that?
I can give you a citation that says when you must request the dime. I think it's 842-107 subsection 7 or subsection 8.
Thank you.
So my point is, if she couldn't have requested a dime right at the point in time we had the hearing of compensability, but it's like any other case, you find out what, whether the case is compensable. If you find out, then the case goes forward. All cases work this way. Eventually, final admission is filed. And in this case, it would have been right after compensability been determined because we already had a report on MMI from the initial treating physician. We had a report on permanent impairment. So once the case is finally determined to be compensable, respondents would have filed a final admission of liability. At that point, the claimant would have objected, requested a division IME saying, I don't agree with the determination of maximum medical improvement, and the division examiner determines it at that point in time.
Ms. Kagan, could you explain then why your clients did not file a final admission of liability after Judge Felter found that the claim here was compensable?
Because that's also an appeal, Your Honor. We think that there are other reasons why the finding the compensability in the first instance was incorrect.
Well, assuming then that you have a basis then for appealing the Judge Felter's determination that the claim was compensable, then what is the claimant to do in that circumstance when the claimant is seeking TTD benefits? Because based upon, if I understand you correctly, then the Mr. Sabarbaro's client would have to wait until after this appeal that we're hearing this morning is finally determined, and only then could he seek TTD benefits. Is that correct, based on what you're saying?
That's true in any case where compensability has been appealed. The claimant must wait for that issue to be determined with finality one way or another. That's just how this works on all cases where compensability is being adjudicated and appealed. That's not an unusual circumstance at all.
Counsel, if we hypothetically assume that we affirm on compensability, but we conclude that because the case wasn't reopened, as you're contending, that therefore TTD was not appropriately awarded, then does the claimant have the ability to then reopen the case and seek TTD?
Well, she would.
I'm not saying you would concede it, but I'm just saying
right.
If that's procedurally available.
That. If the award of permanent disability becomes, compensability becomes final, the respondents file a final admission of liability, and they take a position on maximum medical improvement and impairment, and then the claimant contests it at that point in time, and that's when she can raise the issue of maximum medical improvement and ask for more temporary disability benefits and ask for more permanent disability benefits if she wants also.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Judge Terry, with all due respect to opposing counsel, I do think this is an unusual case. In 15 years of doing workers' comp, I haven't gone to a hearing before where I don't have a position from the other side, and yet they argue the case is open. But it's not open because I have 2 years to file a claim. If it's not filed within 2 years, it's closed. Judge Tomlin asked for a case. If you go to page 24 of my opening brief, I have a case about Paso County Department of Social Services versus Dawn, which talks about a change in condition after maximum medical improvement. I also direct the court, with all due respect, to section 843-301, parenthetical 1.
But slow down, please.
You probably read the times before they said talk to credits, which is 843-301, parenthetical 1, which is cited at page 21 of my opening brief, which talks about reopening on a worsened condition. But first off, I want to stress that the claimant is not challenging maximum medical improvement. Number two, I said to Judge Felter I could explain why I was withdrawing the petition to reopen. He said there's no need, and if you follow the colloquy, he says, it's a contested case, right, Sbarbaro?
Yeah.
So how am I supposed to pursue a reopening on a case that isn't accepted? The statement that it's open, the client has no notice it's open. There was never a general admission of liability filed. And as the court has found, the section that requires the claimant to pursue a dime is 842.107.2. Parenthetical A, it's cited at page 21 of my opening brief. But for the claimant, the time to select an IME commences with the date of the final admission of liability. So they've got me in this circle. But I keep taking you back to where I don't want to go. We are not challenging NMI. We are not challenging NMI. What we're saying is injury, plateaued, worsened. We ask to see the company physician. They don't let us. We have to go get our own physician. Physician gives restrictions. Those restrictions result in a disability. That is, the employer won't let them work with that disability. And that she's entitled to a wage loss from the worsened date moving forward. The whole dime analysis really is a red herring. It doesn't happen.
Is it unusual to have a worsening without a reopening?
Worsening.
I guess.
Well, there's all, if you have a true worsening and everybody accepts it, it's reopened. Within 6 years. You only get 6 years from the date of injury.
So what's unusual about this is that the claim didn't close before MMI or after before MMI, I guess.
The claim didn't exist.
Okay.
That's the claim that she can say all day long, Maggie, but I mean, say all day long the claim existed, but it didn't. Because until it's on file with the state of Colorado, my general admission of liability is on file, how does my client have any due process notice that she's got a claim? She doesn't. Well, it's only when she seeks additional benefits and they say, well, sorry, Judge, go ahead.
Mr. Sbarbaro, when you say the claim didn't exist, are you really saying that compensability had not been established?
Yes.
Okay, well then, do you agree with Ms. Keck's position that after compensability is determined in this litigation, assuming if we were to assume that Judge Felter's decision would be sustained and that compensability would be established, and after that, then you would be able to seek TTD benefits?
Yeah, yes, sir. On the worsening, yes. If the question is, Sbarbaro, if we find Felter was correct and it was a compensable claim, then your next analysis would be, was Judge Felter correct to find my client was at MMI? And if that analysis is correct, was Judge Felter correct to find a change in condition as set forth by that El Paso case based on the medical records to support additional TTD from a worsened condition 10 months later? That would be the analysis. I don't know if I understood your question, because I thought you were asking more about an IME again.
So, well, let me ask you this question to try and see if I can understand this. If the claim here were determined to be compensable, in order for Ms. Luthbauer to get TTD benefits, would there have to be an order vacating the MMI or setting aside the MMI determination?
No, sir. That's the statute I gave you, the 843.3031. You can reopen a admitted workers' compensation case, which we didn't have till I went to hearing, if you can establish a worsened condition. And the case law says you can do it just on the testimony of the claimant. Now, I had more than the testimony of the claimant. I had a medical record from Dr. Engelstad. But you're not trying to do anything, but I'm not going back to MMI to get lost wages. I'm waiting 10 months. My client's fine for 10 months. But the natural progression of the admitted injury as found by Judge Felter resulted in additional restrictions in August, which resulted in wage loss, which had it been an open case, or had been a case that was on file with the state of Colorado, I would have petitioned to reopen, but since it didn't exist, he did everything in one hearing. And that's where I think ICAO got really hung up, because every other analysis they did, look, substantial evidence, but they kept focusing on the dime, and I think they were under the mistaken impression I was challenging the original determination of MMI, which you can't do without an independent medical evaluation. I was not. I'm not challenging MMI. It's a worsened condition.
Mr. Sbarbaro, knowing that your client was claiming a worsening, could the employer have sent your client to an IME prior to the hearing?
Yes. I mean, or the employer could have even done something easier, which is file a final admission of liability prior to the hearing, saying we adopt our doctor's rating, that she was a maximum medical improvement back in December of 2008, and then my client could have either filed a petition to reopen, because now I've got a piece of paper that says I have a claim on file with the state of Colorado, or could have pursued a dime saying I disagree with the first date of MMI. Now, I don't know why she'd have filed a piece of paper saying she agreed to the first date of MMI, because she didn't. She was back at work for 10 months. So she'd have filed at that point a petition to reopen, attach Engelstad's report, and say, I'm worse. Look what the doctor says. But we didn't have that piece of paper, even on the day of hearing, even as we stand here today, I don't have that piece of paper. So Judge Phelps said, we'll just do everything, Savarro. We'll do compensability. We'll do whether they offered a doctor when the condition worsened, because that's the issue there. You know, did they give me a doctor when things got worse? We say it's worse. They say, oh, well, they keep running me around. And now I established worsening. So he did all in one fell swoop. I mean, he didn't understand the issues. If there are no further questions, I appreciate the court's consideration of my time and how quickly I spoke. I apologize, Judge. Thank you. Thank you, Ms. Keg.
Thank you to both counsel for your arguments. We appreciate them. The case is submitted, and we will render a decision in due course.